This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Respected brothers, sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and thanks are certainly only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wadud, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the one who created us and guided us to this deen of Islam, the one who creates times of prosperity and times of adversity so that he may test us, who of us are better in deeds. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank him for this day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Despite our circumstances and not being able to attend the masajid for most people, however, we are still in a blessed day and we are still in a blessed time. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبَتَلَاهُمْ For when Allah Ta'ala loves a people, He tests them. And this is a very good introductory point to the topic today. And the topic today is, of course, love. And we are not speaking here, as opposed to what some people might think, about love as in love of each other that a man has for a woman or that a woman may have for a man, but rather a much more intense love. And in actual fact, I recall an incident in primary school when our principal, he played a song and he told all of the students to listen to the song. And this was part of, you know, the Monday morning assembly type of motivation thing. And the song was The Greatest Love of All. And he told us to listen intently so that we may discover in the song what the greatest love of all is. And so listening to the song, eventually the lyrics get to the point where the person singing says, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. After this incident, the principal then asked, who of you here have found the greatest love of all? And everybody raised their hands, and I didn't raise my hand. So it was a bit strange because I didn't quite understand the exercise. And this principal, he then asked, you know, pointed me out and asked, you know, why don't you love yourself? You know, what is the issue? I didn't speak up at the time because I was feeling a bit of peer pressure, you know, because everybody else is saying they found the greatest love of all. And yeah, I'm sitting and I didn't find the greatest love of all. But it was not that I didn't love myself at all. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that I was conflicted because as a Muslim, even as a child, I understood that learning to love yourself is not the greatest love of all. Learning to love yourself is really good. But the greatest love of all is the type of love that would lead you to sacrifice life and limb for a cause. And many people are not willing to sacrifice life and limb for the love of themselves. And indicative of this is the fact that many people take their own lives. Na'udhu billah. But when we hear as children the stories of the Sahaba, let alone the story of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the extent of sacrifice, hardship, difficulty that they went through and maintained their motivation, which was a much greater love than love of themselves. It was impossible that learning to love yourself was in fact the greatest love of all. And this is the reason I didn't raise my hand at that time. Fast forward today to the year 2021, amidst a pandemic, right? Hopefully, inshallah, at the tail end of a pandemic. Just yesterday, I had a meeting with a good friend of mine. And this friend, he opened up to me about some family members of his and the difficulties that they are currently experiencing. And he was trying to ask me if it would be possible for me to assist them with some guidelines from Islam, because he did not feel as though he was well enough equipped to deal with the situation. What he wanted to tell them really was a very simple message. Come closer to Allah. Allah will sort out your problems for you. It's a simple message. But often people feel an inhibition that, you know what, just yesterday I came right, so to speak. So how can I go and tell other people? If first and foremost, if this was, you know, the standard, then I would never be able to tell anyone anything because I also just yesterday came right. In fact, I'm still trying to come right today. But I do understand where this person is coming from. They're looking for a position of authority. The point is that this person that I'm speaking to opened up further and said, you know what, Monana, just a couple of weeks before my Fard Hajj, which was the last Hajj that was performed, well, internationally at least, just a couple of weeks, I woke up to the realization that, you know what, I need to get my life in order. I need to start making salah daily. I need to start approaching my Allah because I don't know what tomorrow holds. And ever since then, I've been consistent with this, alhamdulillah. Now, what I find in my life is that no matter what happens, no matter what I come across, no matter how, you know, things are happening around me, how the world is changing around me, I find myself contented because I have Allah in my life. And everything else is secondary. Everything else is a by the way issue. For as long as I have Allah, I'm fine. This was the gist of what he said. And this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, undoubtedly, this is the greatest love of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the importance of loving him in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the importance of loving Allah in the Sunnah. But how much should we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much should we really have Allah in our hearts so that we are absolutely enamored by Allah, that we are absolutely given to submitting to Allah in every sense of the word? Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبَنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ. Say to them, if your fathers, your parents, right, your fathers and mothers, your children, your brothers and sisters, even your spouses, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, even your entire family, your entire tribe, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, even your wealth, which you have earned and which you have striven for, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, or your business, which you fear that it will be in a loss. You will fear that your business will not make a profit or that it will in fact incur losses. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, even your homes which you are so pleased with. You know, mashallah, I'm very happy I have a home. I'm very happy that my home is paid for or that it's almost paid for or that I'm comfortable in my home. Alhamdulillah, you know, we're very pleased with our homes. Any of these things, if they happen to be أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, more beloved to you, مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي, than God and His Messenger, وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِي, and striving in the path of God, meaning striving for the sake of God, striving for a cause that is not your own cause, that is not my cause, that is not even our cause collectively, but it is the cause of God. It is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we know it's purely for the sake of Allah when we're not really getting anything out of it in this worldly sense. If your love of the previously mentioned things are more beloved to you than the love of God, His Messenger, and striving in His way, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, then wait, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, until God brings His command. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and God, Allah, does not guide the sinning people. Subhanallah. This verse, in a very strong and stern manner, puts the love of God into perspective. How much should we love Allah? The answer is, more than anything. And to specify, because Allah could have just said, if you love anything more than God and His Messenger and striving in His path, then wait until God brings His command and He does not guide the sinning people. It would have made perfect sense. but it would not have been as effective as listing those items which in this world people have more love for, let's face it, more love for than anything else. Your parents, your children, your siblings, your spouses, your family, your wealth, your business, your home. It's like, subhanAllah, straight to the point. And we have to bear in mind that this message is universal, because 1400 years ago, loving your home is loving a mud hut. It's loving a building that you could build today, you could break it down tomorrow, no problem. Like, it was not the homes that we understand to be today. A business is maybe a couple of hundred camels, maybe 1,000 camels. That's your business. You have a fruit garden. You have a farm, but I mean, still far less sizable than what we know today. Still, that was what people love. Today, it's just magnified. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam even highlighted our love for him and how important it is that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as not as much as we love Allah necessarily, but as importantly as our love is for Allah, is our love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know this from the Quran already. How many times have we not heard the verse? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you claim to love Allah, because now you've established you must love Allah. So if you claim to genuinely love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then the way to loving Allah is first follow me, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ, then God will love you in return. And when God, when Allah loves you, then He will forgive you of your sins. In other words, that which you do, which you will do because you're human, by mistake, or you fall into continuously because we're human and we make mistakes, that will be forgiven by Allah. And God, Allah, is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jal, one of His beautiful names is Al-Wadud, the loving God. And this love is unconditional, right? It is unconditional. It's a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala refers to Himself in the Quran as Ghafurun Wadud. He's the most forgiving, He's the most loving Allah. And this is an important element to highlight, because often when people leave Islam for Christianity, one of the reasons cited most is that they found love of God within Christianity. And this is not the fault of Islam. This is the fault of the sources that they were taking the Islam from. Because often we focus so much on the wrath of God, the punishment of God, Jahannam, the eternal blazing fires of Jahannam and hellfire and so on. And we focus so little on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas if you walk into a church, that's like every sermon, every week, all the time. God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. Na'udhu billah. Allah is Al-Wadud. He's the most loving God. Subhanallah. Allah is loving. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam showed us that if we want to truly love Allah, that our love is developed through following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is two different things. Right? In the verse we just quoted, if you claim to love Allah, follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to Sayyidina Umar, and Sayyidina Umar expresses that, you know what, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything and anything else except for myself. At this stage, Sayyidina Umar was still on the manhaj, on the method of thinking that the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. The whole world thinks that. So Sayyidina Umar also thought that. The Prophet ﷺ rectified him there and then, and he said, Sayyidina Umar, none of you truly have faith. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. Umar, none of you have true faith until I become more beloved to them than their parents, than their children, and then all of mankind. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and who dearly loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately, he said, immediately, I now love you more than even myself, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Al-ana ya Umar, now, and there's different ways of understanding this, the most likely interpretation is now your faith is absolutely complete. Subhanallah. Loving Allah, loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've heard this before. But love is not just this hypothetical, theoretical, abstract term, you know, I love you. We know this because of our own personal relationships. If a husband says to his wife, I love you, but beats her black and blue, he doesn't express his love in any other way but in words, she knows that this is not true love. This is fake. If a husband receives a word from a wife, I love you, but she doesn't look at him, she doesn't treat him well, she's not kind to him, they don't have an intimate relationship together, she doesn't serve him as a wife would want to serve a husband, she doesn't follow his instructions, you know, there's just no intimacy in any form, whether that be emotional or physical or psychological, there's just nothing. When they say to each other, I love you, you know, whether it's on a 14th of February day or on a birth, it means nothing. Because when you love someone, you show love. Allahu Akbar. I've seen love, especially in this last month or so. I've seen so much love from people because love is supposed to be mostly platonic, right? It's not a sexual thing most of the time. Between a husband and wife, that's a different, you know, that there's a different element to that. But when Muslims love one another, when Muslims really love one another, I've seen Muslims being, you know, willing to sacrifice their last and suffer with nothing. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, preferring others over themselves, even though they have nothing, they have inferior goods. I've seen this type of love, and subhanAllah, not in books, in our time, living, breathing examples around us. And you know what they do? Not only do they brighten up your day, they give you hope that there's going to be a brighter tomorrow. Subhanallah. And this is what we need. So we understand loving Allah. We understand loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an easy thing to speak about, but just take a moment to try and comprehend how we stand in light of where we're supposed to be. Do we love Allah more than our parents and our children and our families and our wealth and our homes and our businesses and everything? Do we really? You know, if we were to make a choice today, when we find out, just hypothetically speaking, you find out that the business that you have or the job that you have is absolutely 100% not permissible. You never knew. It comes to your attention that you are actually in a position where you're doing something haram. If you come to know that, are you willing today to make a change despite the difficulty that you might incur? Now, Islam won't ask you to immediately leave it off and go without anything, but it will ask you to immediately start seeking alternatives. If you find out that the bank account that you hold does not comply with the Sharia, that whether you take the interest or not, it is in fact still riba, and you are still the giver of riba, even if you're not the taker of it. And you now have to make a difficult change because you have to go into the bank and you have to sign papers and you have to open up a new account and you have to give your banking details to all these people. And it's a little bit of an inconvenience. Are we actually willing to go that extra mile? Because Allah's love for us is more important than the love of our things and ourselves. And when we really think about it like that, we have a big wake-up call into understanding that we have a long way to go to build up our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why? What if I am, as a Muslim, I'm making salah, I'm giving zakah, I'm fasting in Ramadan, I go on hajj and umrah, I give sadaqah when I can, you know, I'm a kind person, I'm a helpful person, generally speaking, right? Let's say I'm in that category. But I don't necessarily have the type of love that was described in these ayat. What would be there to influence me, to guide me, to actually wanting to develop that love? How important is it? There's just two elements that I'd like to draw our attention to, which I have seen in the legacy of an individual who recently passed on. The one is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, when Allah loves you, it's a hadith Qudsi. When Allah loves you, He says to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, O Jibreel, now Jibreel is the archangel Gabriel. O Gabriel, I, Allah, love that individual. And I command you, O Jibreel, you must also love that individual. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Jibreel to make an announcement in the heavens. All the beings of the heavens, all the malaika, all the jinn, O ahlus samawat, O people of the heavens and the earth. Firstly, the heavens. Allah loves so-and-so. I, Jibreel, I love so-and-so. And Allah has commanded all of you to love so-and-so. And remember, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do not disobey Allah. They immediately love that individual. Subhanallah. It goes a step further. Allah then commands that the malaika must also pass on that message to Ahlul Ard, to the people of the earth. And all of the people of the earth don't know this. They don't realize this. It's not perceived. But Allah places the love of that individual in the hearts of humanity. And then we can feel this. Because some people, we don't know them. We've just seen them. MashaAllah, I like those people. You know, something about them just, subhanAllah. This is not coincidental. This is not manipulation. This is not some art of persuasion or psychology. No, this is divine. I mean, somebody could perhaps imitate that temporarily with some form of psychology. But genuine love is placed in the heart. Now, there's an individual who passed on recently. So many people who hardly knew this person, they have testified to the fact that even though I only met him once, when I heard of his passing, I could not contain myself. I was so emotional. Sometimes people have professed that they were even more devastated when he passed on than when their own parents had passed on. And this is not just ordinary people that I'm speaking of. I'm speaking about ulama, people who are close to Allah. I'm speaking about ubad, you know, real servants of Allah who are in the masjid all the time. This, subhanAllah, is something that we should yearn for. Why? Because it's not from the people, it's from Allah. To conclude, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the ultimate reason why you and I need the love of Allah, not want the love of Allah, need, desperately need the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is contained in a hadith Qudsi. It's one of my favorite ahadith because in essence, I look at this as a recipe for success in this world and in the world hereafter. It's like a one-size-fits-all methodology given to us, not only by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also by Allah because it's a hadith Qudsi. So Allah speaks. Apologies for that. I don't know what went wrong with the stream. I hope that we are back now, inshallah. I have no way of actually knowing because I've changed devices now. Inshallah, if somebody wants to volunteer to control this while we're doing the Jumu'ah, that would be great because it would really assist in terms of the smooth transition between starting and stopping the streams and so on. Yes, as I was saying, the priorities that Allah Ta'ala set for us are clear, are precise. We cannot decide how we want to approach Allah. Allah tells us. And then, in addition to how Allah tells us to us, you know, it's so beautifully laid out because Allah says, which includes not only that which we must do, but also that which we should not do. You cannot, for example, be a good Muslim. I'm a good Muslim, but I am committing zina all the time. Or I am being rude to my parents all the time. Or I'm not fulfilling the rights that I'm supposed to. So included in this is stay away from haram, which is actually a bigger priority, and then do whatever is followed. So مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ. A slave cannot draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with this. Then, part two. ثُمَّ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. Then a servant continues to draw closer to me, Allah, with nawafil. What are nawafil? Plural of nafl, which is also known as sunnah, right? So you draw closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which is sunnah. The supererogatory acts that are established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you can make your tahajjud. Now you can make your dhikr all night. Now you can, because now you have fulfilled that which is the minimum requirement. What you do beyond this, alhamdulillah. And then the beauty continues. So you do what is fard, you stay away from what is haram, you follow up with the sunnah, but you are consistent. You're not just, I'm a good person for today, tomorrow I go back to my old ways. Then next week, Friday, I get inspired again, and then the next day I go back to my old ways. No, I consist, I make salah every day. All five, on time. I consistently try to stay away from haram. If I'm addicted to some sin or the other, I constantly check myself about it. And I constantly try to take myself away from it. And I will slip. And I will slip. But Allah will help me if I have a sincere intention. Hatta ahbabtu. This is the highlight of this hadith for me. When you maintain consistency on this method, staying away from haram, doing what is fard, doing the sunnah, until Allah loves you, he says, until I love you, until I love that servant. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. When I, Allah, love that servant, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become the ears with which they hear. I become the eyes with which they see. I become the hands with which they grasp. I become the feet with which they walk. And then, when the person asks me, I give that person. When that person seeks refuge from me, I grant that person refuge. This doesn't mean, some people, you know, often interpret this as like pantheism. You know, Allah becomes your hands, Allah becomes your ears, you know, you go to a different level. No, what this means is your life, your deeds, your words, the things you do, the places you go, the things you listen to, the things you see with your eyes, are governed not by your nafs, not by what feels right, what feels good, what feels desirable, but it is governed by, will Allah be pleased with this? Will Allah be satisfied with me? Can I face Allah on the day of judgment with this in my book of deeds? This, my beloved elders, brothers, sisters in Islam, is why all of us, we need Allah. We need to have the type of relationship with Allah where Allah loves us. Because not only will that satisfy us in terms of love for the angels and the humans and everything in existence, but in addition, we will have such a relationship with Allah that whenever we need to knock on a door, the first door that we knock is the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one of whom we ask is of Allah. It's not that we then don't need to go to the doctor anymore. We don't need to go to the lawyer anymore, to the psychiatrist anymore. No, those are all the means. But the one who gives power to all of those means is Allah.
And in this time of sheer desperation, in this time of craziness, because we see craziness coming out, right? Because it's a difficult time. I would love for you and I, all of us, to be from among those who, like my friend, would say, you know what? What happens around me doesn't matter. I have Allah. Just today, one of the musallis of this masjid sent me a message that his father has been admitted into hospital with COVID-19. But part of his message, he doesn't just send the message like, oh my God, it's desperate. Part of his message is, but whatever Allah has decreed, we are satisfied with already. Allahu Akbar. I want that. I hope and I pray that you want that. Because that is the life. That thing is the life. Because that life will result in the ultimate life in the after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, guide us, and grant us His love, the love of His Messenger, and the love of those who love Him. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubba. Oh Allah, I love, I ask you for your love. Wa hubba may yuhibbu. And the love of those who love you. Wa hubba amalin yuqarribuni ila hubbik. And the love of those deeds which will bring me closer to your love. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Another dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa waladi wa min ma'in bari. Oh Allah, I ask that you make your love more beloved to me than myself, than my family or my children, and than cool water. SubhanAllah, this is a big one. Cool water. Just imagine it's a hot day, there's no aircon, you're in the middle of the desert. What pleasure can be better than the pleasure of drinking a sip of nice, cold, chilled water. Ya salam. Imagine you love Allah more than that experience right there. It might seem mundane, but with the hot days of experiencing, just every time you're desperately thirsty and you're so hot, and you drink a sip of cool water, make this dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and love us, and may we love Him, and may we attain all the benefits of His love. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.